I likened my prayer life to Christian radio because it seems that I tune in the prayer channel in the morning and then I just keep it open all day long. Now, this is a two-way communication channel. Like the social networks that are so popular today, I can send my prayers to God, and He guides me throughout the rest of the day. Paul tells us to pray continuously. However, that could be a dangerous thing when you're driving. But I have learned I can pray with my eyes open. And that provides me with many more opportunities to pray. I find that traffic lights, for instance, are a really good spot for prayer. Eyes open, though, or you get honked at. Oh, there are plenty of things to pray about, and I do my best. But lately, it seems the Lord urges me to pray the moment I wake up. And that is often at 5 a.m. Believe me, there are few things at 5 a.m. which I feel good about. But starting the day praying from my waking moment does put me in a better mood to deal with everything that comes for the rest of the day. Now, many pastors say the subject they're asked about most often is prayer. It seems that much of the confusion about prayer stems from the fact that many Christians do not understand that God is an active participant with us in our prayer lives. Do you ever feel that urge to pray? God places the urge to pray in every one of us from the day we're born. It is the very expression of our yearning to know God. Many become insensitive to it, but for others, every time they respond to that urge, they become more and more sensitive to it. To use a modern term, God is proactive in our prayer lives. He isn't just sitting around heaven like a teenage girl waiting for a boyfriend to call him on the phone. He calls us. Dr. Lloyd John Ogilvie says, "When you feel the urge to pray, it means God has dialed your number. He has something He wants to say to you. The phone is ringing. Pick up the phone." Now, you may be surprised to discover that even before you enter into prayer, God already has an answer or a blessing for you. Isaiah 65:24 says, "It shall come to pass before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear." God already knows what you need, and He wants to communicate with you. So, the next time you feel the urge to pray, don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Here's the scripture reading again. Now listen closely to Romans 8:26-28. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And now we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Here we have two very profound verses describing a deep truth about prayer. These may be the most profound statements about prayer that can be found in the Bible. The first is, the Holy Spirit within us prays for us. C.H. Dodd defined prayer this way: "It is the divine in us appealing to the divine above us." Often we feel that our prayers do not go above the ceiling because we don't get the answer we're looking for. Paul tells us this is because we often pray amiss. Sometimes the answer is no, as Pastor Chief pointed out a couple of weeks ago by telling us that even Jesus was told no by God when he prayed for the bitter cup of death to pass from him. Often the reason that our prayer request is rejected by God is that we cannot see ourselves and our situation as God sees it. We cannot see into the future and the events that may occur, which would make our prayer improper or even harmful. On Paul Harvey's program, The Rest of the Story, I heard him talking about a man who was determined to protect his family from the upcoming war between the USA and Japan. He aggressively sought to avoid any involvement in this war. He decided to move his family out of Japan to a small island far away, which would not be of any value to the Japanese or the Americans. He searched the maps and made his decision and moved. He had chosen a worthless piece of rock in a remote location, hoping to live out the war in peace. What was the rest of the story? The island he chose was Guadalcanal. We are often in the same situation. We want something and we ask for it, but we cannot see the consequences of our request. Should it be granted, it may be a very bad thing in the end. And God will refuse our request because he does see the future and he does not want us to come to harm. Dr. William Barclay says, I think somewhat sarcastically, because we cannot know what is truly best for us, perhaps the perfect prayer would be, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. This does seem quite sarcastic, but I can understand the frustration. However, God wants us to pray, and he doesn't count our errors against us. For prayer is an act of faith. Why would you pray if you don't believe that God is there and have faith that he hears your prayers? Why would we ask if we didn't believe God cares and will answer? Often people say prayer, their prayer life is weak or ineffective. This comes from a lack of faith. They feel that God does not hear or answer their prayers, but this often stems from the fact that they don't have enough faith to listen for the answers. Failing to listen for that small, quiet voice is born out of the failure to expect an answer. You can tell when people approach prayer without the expectation of receiving an answer. They just go ahead with their never-ending shopping list, and when they're finished, feeling pressed for time, they say a quick amen and move on to other things. If God did have an answer for them, he couldn't get a word in edgewise. Take time to listen to God. The second very important significant verse here is my favorite, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God has got my back. He arranges all things to bring about good for me because I love and trust him. This doesn't mean I am to expect a life free from danger, disappointment, disease, strife, poverty, grief, or death. It means that no matter what happens, I know that God is there for me. And somehow, he's going to bring good from it. The mature Christian knows of many instances when things that seemed to be a disaster turned out to be a blessing in the end. I lived in Dallas. I had very little money and too many bills. And then I lost my job. Disaster. I found another job, but it paid even less. Things only got worse and worse, and I went deeper and deeper into debt. In desperation, I reluctantly told my mother about the fix I was in. I wouldn't have if I could have seen any way out of it but on my own. And she told me that Xerox was needing some electronic technicians in Albuquerque and asked me to come home. That's where I grew up. I sent them an application, but I got no reply. And my situation just kept getting worse and worse. And finally, I gave up, deciding I could be poor and broke in Albuquerque just as well as I could be poor and broke in Dallas. So I took what money Mom sent me, plus all that I had left, and moved home. Each day I'd go out looking for work, but the prospects were just as bad in Albuquerque as they were in Dallas. This was during phase three of President Nixon's economic upheavals. He didn't call it that, but I did. All of the aerospace workers were unemployed. Dallas was a big aerospace company. Oh, it was a mess. Well, I wasn't having much luck in Albuquerque either, with Kirtland Air Force Base and all the aerospace business industry there, and that was my field. But while I was out looking, I remembered I sent that application to Xerox. I wonder if they're still looking for somebody. So I dropped by Xerox and told them I was there and that I'd sent them an application. And surprise, surprise, they went over and pulled it out of the file, talked to me a couple of minutes and said, "All right, I'm going to take you back for an interview." The interview led to a job about a week later, paying twice as much as the job I'd had in Dallas. And that put me on a career path that eventually led to engineering management. And I have to say, the pay was excellent and the benefits were great. All things work for the good of those who love the Lord. Now, many people who've heard my story simply shrug their shoulders and say, "So what? You just got lucky. It was inevitable that you'd get a job someday, and a coincidence that it led to another and another, which increased your experience and value to your employers. God had nothing to do with it." My reply, in all things, etc. Now, what about that ceiling? How can we know God hears our prayers? In Holly's class on prayer, we learned that John Wesley imagined our prayers being carried to heaven by angels climbing a staircase. And while on an adjacent staircase, angels were coming back down from heaven, bringing God's answers to us. Now, I believe that God is a lot closer to us than that. I'm not going to take anything against John Wesley, or away from John Wesley. He's cool. But I think God's a whole lot closer to us than a staircase. Because this puts God somewhere way out there in the cosmos. And I'm going to talk about the fact that he's a whole lot closer than that. You've heard that the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. Well, if so, that has deep implications for how God hears and answers our prayers. You may wonder, does the Holy Spirit really dwell within me? Here are a few verses to confirm it. It confirms that if you are a believer in Christ, He does. Acts 22:38-39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. Acts 10:44-46. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that is, the Jews who had accepted belief in Christ, the way, Christianity, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Jews didn't have much sympathy for Gentiles. And here it was that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit does dwell within the believer. Now please follow my reasoning. Since the Holy Spirit dwells within us, He is aware of our motives, thoughts, and everything we do. Right? He's right there inside us. He knows what's going on. Our scripture reading tonight tells us He even intercedes for us, offering prayers to God on our behalf. Now, since the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer, the Holy Spirit who dwells within the believer is a member of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it stands to reason that what He knows, God knows. Let's take another look at Romans 8:26-27, paying close attention to verse 27. Here's verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Now pay attention to 27. And He who searches our hearts, who's that? God, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The mind of God is not divided. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Furthermore, it is in accordance with the will of God that the Holy Spirit within us acts on our behalf. Now, how does this apply to prayer? The Holy Spirit within you knows what you're saying when you pray. He even knows before you ask. He knows the thoughts, He knows as the thoughts are forming in your mind. Furthermore, God may already have the answer. All He's waiting for is for you to enter into prayer and ask. This is why silent prayer is effective. Whatever you can conceive, the Holy Spirit knows. He is our comforter and our teacher. If our prayers are amiss, He'll let us know. If we're confused, He will help us sort it out. If we're being selfish or disingenuous, in other words, trying to cheat and lie to God, maybe He don't know what I'm doing yet. No. He'll convict us. You ever start a prayer like that? You get all wrapped up in yourself and you start asking for things that you probably shouldn't be. And then God says, now wait a minute. Holy Spirit says, hold on. Let's get honest now. Be truthful to God. If we're depressed, He will encourage us. If we do not think our prayers are being heard or answered, He will reveal the truth in time, and that is especially true when the answer is no. You do not have to wonder if your spiritual transmitter has enough power to reach above the ceiling. All you have to do is engage in prayer, and the Holy Spirit within you hears you. What He knows, God knows. Instantly. So don't worry about ceilings. God is listening to the Holy Spirit within you. Speak to God in faith from your heart. He hears you. And that is as far as your transmitter needs to go. Amen.